Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 254 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of girls track later on tonight with both head coaches of the two Ankeny squads. But right now, my first guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and she has been on the podcast a few times before. She is Amy Weeder. And Amy, thanks for coming in tonight. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, the first thing I wanted to ask you about is the recent move by the National Association of Realtors to end some antitrust lawsuits by agreeing to pay over $400 million in damages to a group of home sellers. Because as I understand it, you know, part of that agreement will also eliminate the rules on commissions, you know, which could effectively destroy, you know, the current home buying and selling business model. I know it's a lot of words there, but, you know, is that right? And can you explain, you know, to our audience what that's going to mean for buyers and sellers around here?
I mean, first of all, there's really never been an obligation for a seller to pay buyer agent commission. That has always been negotiable. The biggest thing that's coming out of this is where the information can be disclosed, so that won't be displayed on our local MLS. So we don't see a lot of changes as far as that goes. So a past rule required an offer of some compensation to be put out there. Now there'll be nothing out there, and you'll have to just make a phone call as a realtor to the listing agent to see what the buyer's agent commission will be.
All right. What else do people know about this, though? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of levels to this, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, really, if you wanted to read all 400 pages, you really could, but there's information out there that should be left for attorneys to interpret. That's not what we do, but basically, commission has always been negotiable. A seller can always choose to pay whatever commission they want to pay. So at the end of the day, there's no limitation on that. I don't honestly foresee a lot of changes in our local market. I've had a few questions from sellers about it, just explaining, you know, wanting to know how that all worked. And I just basically explained that it's always been negotiable. You can always choose to pay that. Where it gets a little tricky is in the lending side, there's a couple of loan limitations for certain buyers that they cannot pay certain fees. And commission would be one of them.
All right. And you said these changes won't go into effect right away either, right?
July 1st.
All right. And things could change between now and then, maybe?
It could. There's, yeah, you know, the 60-day waiting period. And whenever there's attorneys involved, things can always get a little bit more complicated than it needs to be.
Well, let's talk about, you know, some of the local real estate here. I mean, are there any specific properties that you're involved with now that you want to advertise?
Do I? Well, I have just listed a beautiful two-story right on Northeast 9th. It's a three-bedroom. These guys have taken great care of it. Beautiful landscaping. I'm listing another one on Friday. So the market's starting to heat up.
We're coming out of the winter season. We've had some nice days. Other days like today aren't so nice. But I mean, does that change the market a little bit? I mean, are more people out looking on nice days?
Yeah, I mean, I actually myself have been in a couple multiple offer situations in the last couple weeks. And I feel like when it gets a little bit warmer, that's when people want to get out. Rates did take a little bit of a jump up on Friday, which always affects things. But we do foresee that those will come down. Economists are saying that at the beginning of the year, they were saying we're going to have six rate reductions. Now, at the last Fed meeting, they didn't lower the interest rate, but they said we're hoping to have three yet still this year. So hopefully they're right, and we see things go down towards the end of the year.
All right. Well, if anybody's interested in looking at that property you mentioned, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Yeah, just give me a call. 515-577-5178. I'd love to show it.
All right, Amy. Well, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet.
All right.
All right, well, my next guest is in his second season as the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial Girls track team. He guided the Jaguars to a tie for 14th place in last year's Class 4A state meet. He is Tyler Asby. Tyler, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, your team was supposed to compete in the Southeast Polk Relays last night, but the meet was canceled due to the weather. So you've only had the one outdoor meet to this point, but you do have two more meets coming up this week. You know, even with the cancellation, you know, are you happy with where your team is at right now?
Yeah, we kind of, you come to expect some of that early in the track season with the weather being pretty unpredictable in Iowa, but we were able to get a workout in yesterday, and it's we got a busy week next week with three meets, and obviously we're at the Ankeny home meet tomorrow, so yeah, still got a nice workout in and moving forward.
Well, your team did have a meet over at Johnston last Thursday, and you certainly had some good performances there. Your 4x100 relay team placed second in a time of 50.94 seconds, and that met the Drake Relays Blue Oval standard. You know, seem to be pretty excited about that group's potential.
Yeah, yep. That group really came on strong last year. Three of the four are returners, and then Addie Arringdale was really involved in that group actually before I got here, and she had an injury that took her out for the whole season last year. So a lot of cohesiveness in that group. They're just smooth together. The handoffs come pretty easy, and we've got some good athletes in that group, and it was good to see them get off to a hot start like that. That's exciting.
Well, Jaden Pratt ran on that unit, and of course she's also the defending Class 4A state champion in the long jump. She placed third in that event on Thursday with a jump just under 17 feet. And I know she got off to a little bit of a late start after finishing up the basketball season. You know, how's she looking thus far?
Yeah, for sure. So we gave Jaden a break in between. So I told her to. She went from track into club basketball, straight into volleyball, and then into school basketball. So we told her, we don't need to see you till after spring break. Give your body a rest. So she's good. She's obviously we're still getting into form a little bit, but that's expected, and I think she knows that too. She's obviously antsy to compete. She has high standards for herself, and she likes to compete at a high level. But yeah, last Thursday in the long jump we haven't had much work in it yet, and I think we kind of just treat it as a rust buster, get out there and see where we're at. And yeah, we're happy opening up at right under 17 feet. That's not a bad place to start.
Yeah, I'm sure it takes a little bit of while to get that timing down. Doesn't it?
For sure. Yeah. Yep. It's a very technical event. So yeah, she'll keep improving for sure.
Well, last year Jaden came out for track at the urging of her basketball teammate Maya Crawford, and I'm doing the Prep of the Week feature on Jaden for Monday, and I asked her if she tried to get Maya to go out for track this year, but she told me that because of Maya's basketball commitments and having to travel a lot, she just couldn't go out for track this year. Now Maya ran on two of your relays at last year's state meet, so I'm sure going to hate to lose her.
Yeah, Maya's a great kid, great athlete, big part of our team last year, but. I totally understood. I had good conversations with Maya in the off season. She communicated really well and really open, which is cool to see from a high school kid. Really mature and how she kind of talked to me about it. But she's got big basketball dreams, and she plays a lot of club basketball. So we'll miss her for sure. But she's still a part of our family, and is there supporting our team and whenever she can. So yeah, happy for Maya with her Drake commitment for basketball, and. It'd be nice for her to be able to dial in on that.
Sure. We have to feel good about your jumpers. Cam Lazier placed second in both jumping events on Thursday, and you have a freshman, Anna Woods, who won the high jump and also placed third in the 100 hurdles. So you have to feel good about the prospects of maybe scoring, quite a few points at state in those two events.
Yeah, yep. Our jumps have been strong to start the year. Anna, freshman, very talented. We knew she was talented coming in, but she came right out of the gates, hit the blue standard in the high jump in our first indoor meet. So, I think she surprised herself a little bit there. It was a big PR in that first meet. So, she's working really hard, and it'll just get more and more smooth. And then Cam has come out of the gates really well too. She kind of had a little naggy injury coming into this season, and we're still working through that a little bit, but, she's doing all the right things, and it's nice to see her come out with some good rhythm in both events.
Well, Cam just has so much experience in both those events.
Yeah.
And I can't remember, does she have a favorite between those two, or do you think there's one or the other that she maybe has a better chance to place in at state? Or?
She's solid in both. She's got potential to score in both events, I think. I don't think she would say that she has a favorite. She's just a competitive kid and super positive. And she's one of those kids that wherever you put her, you're going to get her best. And you're never going to hear anything negative out of her. So I think she just attacks both every day. And that's a hard thing to do at a meet, to bounce back and forth between those two events. It's hard to find a rhythm sometimes. And feel like you can get all your jumps in here and then get all your jumps there. It's a lot of back and forth, and she handles it really, really well.
Well, your team appears to be, you know, pretty strong in so many areas. On Thursday, Haley Havim and Annika Moorhauser went 1-2 in the 3,000, and they both posted times that ranked among the top 40 in the nation this year. And your team also won the 4x800 relay by more than 17 seconds. You know, so you have to really like what you've seen, you know, from the distance girls and the middle distance girls.
Yeah, absolutely. Our distance group has just steadily improved in the last couple of years. Coach Cogdill does a great job with those girls, and they're just really bought in. The culture is really good in that group, and you can tell they put a lot of miles in the off season, and it's showing in this early part. And I think it's good within each of those groups, kind of that 800 and then the 15 and 3K groups. There's kids that are similar in their ability levels, so they push each other a lot in practice, and it's just really great for them to have that every day.
Well, your team won four events on Thursday, and the other victory came in the 400 hurdles, where Kylan Smith posted a time of 109.07 that ranked 86th nationally this season. Now, she placed fourth in the state meet in that event as a freshman in 2022, but last year she focused more on the relay events and didn't go to state in the 400 hurdles, or she didn't make it to the finals anyway. You know, do you think she has a chance to get back on the awards podium in that event this season?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Last year was kind of a freak thing. She was ranked high in the hurdles and the 400 hurdles all season last year, and just a freak thing. I honestly think, knock on wood, it's the only time I've seen her have a fall in the hurdles. She actually was in a good position to win at districts, and about 200 meters into the race, had a trip and a fall, unfortunately. And so, yeah, I feel really strong that she'll bounce back there. She's a tough kid. She works her tail off, and yeah, she'll be back for sure.
Well, your team will compete in the Hawkett Invitational on Thursday at Northview. You guys placed third in that meet a year ago behind Ankeny and Johnston. Now, did you have to make very many adjustments, you know, to your lineup for this meet after having that meet postponed last night, or does that not really affect what you were going to do?
Yes and no. It's TJ Jumper, the coach at Ankeny, and myself, with it being, you know, it's their home meet, and but it's still a hometown meet for our girls. So both of us, when we host our home meet, we allow each other to kind of have additional entries and stuff, which is, it just works well for both of us to get all our kids reps. So a lot of our varsity stuff, we were able to kind of keep the same focus as we would have had on Tuesday. But it's a big meet for us. We allow basically the whole squad to come. So we'll have a ton of relays and get every girl out there competing, which is, it's just great for the team. It's great for those young kids that don't always get a race every meet. So yeah, we're thankful that our two programs can collaborate and allow our kids to both get sure. Great opportunities.
Well, what are your primary goals going into this meeting? Are you trying to win it, or is it more important to try to maybe run some times that would get you into the direct relays?
It's, you know, kind of both. It's just each meet's a little different. You're, you know, winning a meet is fun, but we're still trying to figure out kind of who's who. You know, since only having one outdoor meet, and then indoor being fairly limited on entry requirements, we're still just trying to get kids reps and just see where we're at, see kind of who can fit into what group. Obviously, we want to be competitive where we can be, but yeah, we're still just trying to kind of feel out where we might be strong in certain relays and try some kids in some different events and just see if we can find some strengths.
We mentioned Coach Jumper, and I don't know how much you've seen of Ankeny's team thus far, but of course the Hawkettes placed fifth in last year's meet, and they've got a lot of girls back mm-hmm. this year as well. You know, they've got a chance to be really good, don't they?
They do, yep. They've got a great squad over there. They've been building for a couple years now, and I would expect them to have a great year this year.
Well, you guys will also compete in the Valley Relays on Saturday, and I see it's supposed to be a little warmer that day, maybe up to 59 degrees, and I know that's always a pretty competitive meet. You know, is that a meet where maybe you can stack some relays to try to get into Drake?
Actually, it's on the CIML calendar. I think our boys go there, but we do not go to that meet. So that was actually a misprint.
Okay.
But we will have Johnston, Waukee Northwest, and then Jim Duncan next week. So we'll gear up for a big week next week. But to answer your question, just to push it back a week, yeah, if we get some nice weather, yeah, we're going to start to kind of push for some of those relays and see if we can get some things in for Drake, exactly.
Yeah, this time of year, there's just so many different meets and so many different teams trying to keep up with the schedules, I tell you.
No,
it's,
I get
brutal.
It. Yep,
I think the weather.
Yeah, I totally get it. So yeah, we'll take our chances when we can get some good weather. And obviously you've been around. It's, you can never have a guarantee on that. So you got to be ready to run when we do get those days.
Well, I know the state meet is a long ways away, but you know that's obviously the meet that the whole season leads up to. You know, is it your goal to place as high as you can as a team in Class 4A, or is the goal just to get as many kids to state as you can? You know, or maybe just a little bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I think both things are great. Obviously, getting getting as many kids as we can to that meet is great, especially some of those younger kids. Just getting them to have that experience on the Blue Oval and get that big meet experience is huge in building your program. But we do feel like we do have some top-end kids as well that we can score some points with and be competitive. So, yeah, the goal is to finish as high as we can as a team, but, yeah, just continue developing as a whole unit as well.
Well, Waukee Northwest is the two-time defending state champion, and I don't know if you've seen much of them yet this year, but, you know, do you think they're the team to beat again?
Yeah, it's hard to go against that, being the defending champs, and they've come out real hot this year, really strong in the sprint relays and in the sprints. They're just a really balanced team. They've got a lot going on, so I would say that they've got a target on their back. You're going to as a defending state champ, but I would expect them to be right in that mix again this year.
Yeah, they've set a high standard here in their first 2 years, winning state both times. I don't know how you beat that.
They sure have. Yep, they're doing a good job over there.
Well, Tyler, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it, and good luck tomorrow night. I'll see you there.
Appreciate it, Dan.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast, and MJ Properties is also the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic, and we certainly appreciate the support from MJ Properties. Before I bring in my final guest tonight, I did want to mention that I'm going to be heading off to Phoenix on Friday for the Final Four. Looking forward to that. So some of the coverage of the events coming up on Friday and Saturday might either be limited or delayed. I'll probably be able to do a little bit of work down there, but I am going to be busy doing a lot of different things, going to games, got a concert or two to go to. Going to try to catch a Phoenix Suns game as well. Actually, I'm just hoping that I can get to Phoenix. I've been to the Final Four many times, but the last time I went to the Final Four was in 2019. Our trip to Atlanta in 2020 was canceled, of course, due to COVID. 2 years ago in 2022, I flew to Chicago with three of my buddies, and we got delayed in Chicago due to the flight being canceled, and we could not figure out a way through the airlines to get to New Orleans in time for the game, so we ended up coming back to Des Moines. So that was kind of a disappointing weekend, and did not go to the Final Four last year. So looking forward to that trip this weekend. But like I said, some of the coverage of the events on Friday and Saturday, as well as Monday, might be a little bit delayed or limited. I'll be back on Tuesday, and we'll probably be off to some events on Tuesday night. So just wanted to let you guys know about that. All right, well, my final guest tonight is in his second season as the head coach of the Ankeny Girls track team. He guided the Hawkettes to a fifth-place finish in last year's Class 4A state meet. He is TJ Jumper. TJ, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Our team was supposed to compete in the Waukee Northwest Invitational last night, but the meet was canceled due to the weather. So you've only had the one outdoor meet to this point, but you do have two more meets coming up this week. You know, even with that cancellation, are you happy with where you guys are at right now?
Definitely happy. It's given us some time to really work hard and practice and really get ready for later on in the season, really take time to give the girls a base in their training. So we went to Emporia, Kansas for a meet at Emporia State University and got to show girls some things from that are outside of our state, some events other states have, and show them kind of what big time track and field is in other places, and saw some great performances there for early in the season. So we're quite happy with where we're at right now.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that. You guys placed a second overall in that meet where there was 13 teams there. And like you said, that gave you a chance to compete in some other events like the javelin, the steeplechase, and the triple jump, you know, that Iowa doesn't offer. You know, did your girls enjoy that experience?
Oh, they did. Actually, I think some of them were wanting to come back and throw javelin here. You know, for Lily Smith, who's going to be a heptathlete or has been a heptathlete for us during the summer in club season, is going to Nebraska, Omaha to be a heptathlete. It gave her a chance to throw the javelin again. She started to learn it over the summer. Then we had two others throw it, and I think they fell in love with it. And then we had Ella Jumper do the triple jump, which looks to be one of her events when she's at Central College next year. So we had a good time. Unfortunately, we didn't have pole vault. They had pole vault there, but that's an event we can't do.
Sure.
And then Ella Scholes did the steeplechase and placed for us in the steeplechase. She hurdled some last year, and she's a distance runner this year, so it fit right in. You know, but those are events that, you know, we really didn't score in because we just don't train in them. There's right. like a week of practice. If we could have scored in those events, we would have had a shot at winning that meet.
Well, I know you mentioned that this meet was also a positive for the team bonding opportunities along the way. You know, do you think there's a lot of benefits just for having the girls, spending that much time together, over those days?
Oh, yeah, definitely. When we came back and got off the bus, we actually went into a recovery practice as soon as we got back on Saturday. And it was just a positive buzz about what was going on and funny stories and jokes amongst the team now. And so it definitely built a strong bond.
Well, your team won three events down there, including the 4x800 relay. That group posted a time of 9:54.70 and didn't even include two of the members of last year's state championship squad, Allie Mackey and Sophie Leffler. They stayed back here in Ankeny to play in a soccer tournament over the weekend. So you have to feel really good about your middle distance group and what they can accomplish this year.
Yeah, and our middle distance and distance crew has really taken a step forward in their training. And, we just got to keep building their confidence. They're in great shape right now, and that showed when we were there. We now probably go about 7 or 8 distance runners deep, where last year we weren't as deep because we were a little young in that crew. And now we're looking at where are we going to have the best lineup because of that depth that we have.
Well, Drew Beeson is also part of that group, and she got a win in the 1600. And then Reagan Hanfelt took the high jump with a leap of 5.6, which tied her own school record. Now, Reagan tied for third in the high jump at state as a freshman and then moved up to second place last year. You've got to believe that she's got a chance to be a state champ this year, don't you?
Oh, definitely. And, even in your article you mentioned, because I had said, she had actually 2 heel misses at 5.8. She's worked really hard on improving the areas to go at those higher heights during summer club season and then indoor season, really working on the skill or the technique part of it. And we definitely think she can go higher than even 5.6. And if she can be as consistent, that's the one thing I really like about Reagan is her consistency of she runs the same approach every time and her takeoff. And so now it's just timing over the bar at those higher heights. And we know that's going to come here before too long.
Well, your team appears to be strong in so many different events. You mentioned Lily Smith earlier. She placed 4th at state last year in the 400 hurdles and is also part of a talented group of sprinters. How is she looking thus far?
She's looking great. Actually, she's in super shape right now. She's battling a little bit of an injury, something we're keeping track of. But she'll be back at it tomorrow at the meet. And she looked great. She actually was the one person that we had in multiple events at Emporia. And it's because of the shape and the hard work she's put in the off season that we felt like she could go ahead and do that. And, she can be placed in so many different events because she's so talented and she's such a hard worker. She's passionate about track and field, and we're excited to see what she can do this year, her senior year.
Well, I mentioned Allie Mackey and Sophie Leffler earlier. Of course, those girls are juggling the two sports, and there's some other girls doing that as well. I mean, I know it's not an easy thing to do, but just the fact that they've done it before, does that make it a little bit easier?
Yeah, and we work really hard between Simon and I with their schedule, and we try to set it in advance just so they know where they're going and they don't have to stress about, should I be at track? Should I be at soccer? The other thing is Simon and I work together on the mileage they're doing in soccer, so that way I can program them at track and we can make sure they're also getting enough recovery and rest to try to avoid injuries. The nice thing is just working as a group like that, and we're seeing high success last year with it. We're implementing again this year, and I'm excited to see them tomorrow, see what they can do on the track.
Well, your team will host the Hawkeye Invitational on Thursday, and I know that will be your senior night as well. And I don't know how many seniors you have, but I'm sure you're really thankful for all of them, because I know it's not easy to stick with a sport all the way through high school. And by this time of their senior year, I know some of those kids are maybe looking beyond high school and what they're going to do next.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have a lot of respect for those kids.
Yeah. Actually, the nice thing is we have 16 seniors that are going to be there tomorrow, that it's going to be their last home meet. And I can't thank them enough for what they've given to this program in my 2 years, this being my second year, and their continued leadership, and they're holding that tradition of what we want to create for track and field at Ankeny.
Well, your team easily won the meet last year by nearly 70 points. Now, did you have to make very many adjustments to your lineup, you know, for this meet after having the meet, you know, canceled last night, or did it not really affect what you were going to do?
Actually, it affected it in a big way. There's some kids, because we're so early in the season, they've made improvements, and so we need to see where they're at. So, we ended up juggling the lineup. Got a couple that are coming off injury, so we don't want to overload them. And then there's some kids that are new out to track and field, you know, at the high school for us. And so we think they have some talent, but again, we need to see them in a competition setting. So we're not going to have multiple multi-event kids tomorrow. Again, we want to see kids in competition. We need to get some times on some kids to see what can our lineup be. This year, we have more depth than what we had last year mm-hmm. on the track. And so that's going to help us in the long run, workload wise, but then also what can we do on the track and how can we score more points by moving people around to some newer events. Jayla Williams is a fine example. Actually, she made her first long jump competition. You know, she took third at the high jump last year. We have a freshman, Mila Mandillo, that has already gone 5'2 for us. So having three high jumpers that can go 5'2 or higher, all three could place at the state meet, so it gives us options. And Jayla being such a great athlete and so team-focused, we started working with her on the long jump, and she's already gone 16-11 in her first meet. And so that's part of that depth we're talking about. If we can move kids into other areas, it's going to be better for the team. The sky's the limit then of what can we put together to maximize our points.
Sure. Well, yeah, Jayla seems like a natural for the long jump as well.
Yeah.
Well, Tyler was just in here, and he mentioned that you guys had worked together, and tomorrow's meet gives you guys an opportunity to run pretty much as many kids as you want, because like unlimited entries. So.
Yep. Yeah. So, one of the things with the staff that I have at Ankeny that I enjoy working with, and especially Laura, my wife Laura, who's an assistant coach, we love to introduce kids to track and field, and we love great performances. So if we can grow the sport of track and field, that's meeting our passion, and we want to give kids opportunities. So we have an agreement with Centennial, and they do the same thing at their home meet. If one of us is hosting, then we're going to give as many kids as we can in Ankeny the opportunity to compete and really help them out as well. You know, on the track, we're competitors, but in the long run, we want to all do what's best for kids.
Now, will part of your focus tomorrow night be trying to maybe get into Drake in some events, trying to stack relays?
Yeah. So there's a couple events we're going to go after tomorrow, like the 4x8 with having Sophie and Allie Mackey. I think we're going to run Lauren Jackson and McKenna Medetsky, who's both of them have put up 225, 800 for us. We think that we can get them down lower by the end of the year. So seeing that group together, Reagan Prendergast is coming off a little injury, so tomorrow will be her first meet kind of back with us, so we don't want to overload her too much yet, so
sure. We
just want to get her back in competing. So we're excited about all those options. We're going to look at the 4x1, see what Lily can do in the 400 hurdles, because in Emporia they had 300 hurdles, not 400 hurdles, and so we just wanted to kind of take some shots there and then come back on Saturday at the Valley meet and focus on a few other areas.
Wonder how much you've seen of Yankee Centennial's team thus far, but you'll obviously see them tomorrow. They tied for 14th place in last year's state meet, and they have a lot of returners as well. So, they've got a chance to be pretty good too, don't they?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They have some real good pieces, some good young talent that could really help them this year. I believe they're going to be deeper than what they were last year. Having those pieces back that could be high state placers, and then you add in you know, like Ali Drefke, who ran a great time the other day, and some of those freshmen like Anna Woods, you know, they're going to definitely take a step up this year.
When you mentioned the Valley meet coming up on a Saturday, I know that's always a very competitive meet, and it is supposed to be a little bit warmer on Saturday, so that probably would be a good chance for you guys to maybe stack some other events, huh?
Yeah. So we're kind of, our focus is always at the end of the year, the championship part of the season. So anytime we build a lineup, we build it with purpose. There's going to be some events we're going to say, yep, we're going after that. We're going to load that relay. And then there's going to be other kids that were saying, you know what, we're going to train through this because 2 weeks from now is going to be, there'll be even more ready to hit a standard or hit a PR. So there's some kids that we're going to put in some vents for some training purposes as well, you know, and trying to put all those pieces to the puzzle. We have a big team this year, actually bigger than what we had last year, which is exciting to build on that success. And so, again, even for our freshmen, sophomores, even if we're going to a freshman, sophomore, JV meet, there's things we are working on each individual kid of how can we help them improve? Because if they improve as an individual, then they're going to help us with the team. And that's showing this year with the depth that we've been able to create.
Well, I know the state meet is a long ways away, but that's obviously the meet, you know, where you want to peak and have all of your pieces, you know, fall into place. And from what you've seen thus far, I mean, do you think this is a team that could contend for the title?
Oh, I think we can definitely contend for a title. It's going to be tough. Joaquin Northwest have a lot of their athletes back. They also have three or four move-ins that will run in their varsity that are probably better than what they had last year.
Oh, wow.
You know, so their short sprints got a lot better with those transfers, you know, but also Dewey does an amazing job with what he has. He knows how to win the state track meet. So, you know, they're the favorites coming in. And then Pleasant Valley has almost all of their returning. They had a move-in from Iowa City, Ani Wiedemeyer, who's one of the best 800-meter runners in the state. So now they have two of the top four 800-meter runners in the state at the same school. 4x8 is going to be tough. It's going to be fast at the state track meet if everybody stays healthy. You know, then you add in Dowling didn't lose much, you know, so they got some big-time competitors, athletes that are returning, and probably somebody that is going to sneak up on a lot of teams is Johnston. Johnston has a ton of talent with their distance crew. You know, they're amazing in cross country, but they also have some sprinters, jumpers that are kind of sophomore juniors that I believe will be D1, D2 athletes by the time they become seniors. So I think they can sneak up on some people. You know, for us, we got to stay focused on us, right? And if we keep improving and keep our focus on what we can control and making sure we have good habits every day at practice, I think we can be right there in the competition of trying to podium or win a state title. You know, in track, there's so many moving parts. So it's over 3 days, and I tell the girls, it's like a roller coaster of emotions. You know, like you can work really hard all year, and then something small could happen, and then somebody else is going to step up and surprise you. So you just have to stay even keel and keep moving forward and not show a lot of ups and downs. And if we can do that with the depth that I believe we have and stay healthy, I think we have a good shot.
Well, you mentioned controlling what you can control. I remember when your wife Laura, when she ran at Ankeny, I mean, they had that one year where they just did everything they could to win state. They scored more points than any runner-up team had ever scored.
Yep.
But just one team, I think it was Ames, just had a great meet too and ended up beating them by like 3 or 4 points. And
yes,
you know, sometimes the competition just a little bit better.
Right. And it's on that day, and you know, you could go the next weekend and it could flip-flop based off the day, you know, of what else is going on, you know, who's gonna have a big moment in the big, you know, in front of the big crowd with all the intensity and how stressful it is, like who manages it the best and who has that talent and that winning culture for that day or those 3 days is going to win. And, you know, last year we made progress. And so we're hoping to take another step forward. When you talk about Laura, we actually have that hanging up, that article from when they took second to Ames. And when we talk about Coach, you know, her former coach who still comes around practice now and takes pictures for us. We still give him a hard time about it as well. Usually that wins state hands hands down almost any year. You know, this year, it might take 70, 80 points to win the track meet this year for state.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, it should be a fun season. I'm looking forward to it. And, hey, good luck tomorrow night. I'll see you there.
All right. Thanks.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs, develop long-lasting relationships, and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Realtor Amy Wiederin from Coldwell Banker, along with the girls' track coaches. We had Tyler Asby from Ankeny Centennial, followed by TJ Jumper from Ankeny. And it should be an interesting meet tomorrow night there over at Northview. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. We'll be focusing on boys soccer next week.